So besides the fact that we're in Shovavim, and Shovavim traditionally, actually two of the Rabbeim said to me, can you please discuss Shovavim topics with the Shana Aleph guys? And it happens to, not happens to be, but I chose to speak about this week with the Shana Bet, with the Shana Aleph guys, the idea of Yichud. Because ultimately, unfortunately, current events in Yonah DeYoyim not only being Shovavim, a time where we're supposed to, of course, focus on Kedusha. So, in Yonah DeYoyim, unfortunately, with the Chaim Wilder case, as we spoke about at great length last week, which I did not post on YTR, we'll see, maybe I'll have a epiphany to put it on. I have to listen to it first. But none of this would have happened, and if you remember way back when to the Me Too movement, maybe that's still going on now, but all those people that got in trouble, comes to mind, you know, Harvey Weinstein and all these other people, Matt Lauer, Kevin Spacey, I don't know why those names are popping in my head. If they would have followed, Louis C.K., if they would have followed the rules of Yichud, none of this would have ever happened. And this is a quite a central topic to discuss. I discuss it in the realm of the business world. Yes, sir. Questions are allowed.
Don't you think they wanted to have a Yichud situation?
100%. But 100%, of course, of course. Chazal, in their infinite wisdom, created Gedarim, as of course we say in the Pirkei Avos. That was supposed to say a Gedar LaTorah. And we often find ourselves questioning these Gedarim. Because if I were to ask you, how many Malachas of Shabbos are there? How many Malachas are there? 39. You know, that's a bit of a joke. There are not 39 things that you can't do on Shabbos. There's, yeah, millions, right? So there are, Chazal, in their infinite wisdom, said, wait a minute, if you come to do that, you might do this, like the whole concept of muksa, of course.
Isn't that a siyag? Oh,
exactly. Oh, so siyag l'torah is the same thing. It's together. A siyag, tesu siyag l'torah, as the Mishnah says, siyag is basically to make a fence so that you won't get to that point, right? So the often told joke, even when I was a kid, this was the old joke, especially in the modern Orthodox world, you know, in my circles, they would always say, oh, you can't do that because it might lead to mixed dancing. Ha ha, very funny. But the truth is that what's clear is, right, one could argue and say, wait a minute, you're going to tell me Yichud's usher is going to lead to, it's not leading, nobody's having an affair because of Yichud. And we see all too often that that's 100% true.
But don't you think whether Yichud was a rule or not, it still
happened? No, because if you're an Orthodox individual, let's just talk the business world for a moment because that's what I know, and you establish these rules, so you start to say to yourself, wait a minute, it's not only that I can't be with her. You're saying something different. You're saying, well, if I want to have an affair, I'll have an affair, but how did it lead to the point that you thought about that? And the answer is that you didn't make a siyag l'torah, right? If you always could not be alone with her, there would be no conversations. There would be, yeah. And it could be, and I argue this, I'm serious now by my argument, that maybe, not maybe, for sure, Chazal tell us that we are allowed to and should establish our own siyagim, right? And maybe in our generation, you know, with internet, right, we should do that. When we moved into our house and we were finishing up the house, so I insisted that the computer room table be in the center of the kitchen. And interestingly enough, the Haredi builder said to me, well, can I ask you a question? You have a beautiful house. Why would you want to put it here in the middle of the... I'm like, seriously? I go, you obviously are so tough or you don't understand what the internet is, right? I want my kids to be on the internet and everybody to see, right? And I often say this to guys, right? It's very nice that you have a lounge, but the fact that you have a lounge and it's closed up and then so you may watch things that you wouldn't normally watch. And that's why we establish Siyagim. That's why we have internet that's protected, or we should. Right? Because the siyag is important. There's no halacha that actually says that. But you should have that. And yes, people do take it to the extreme and say, that's why you're not allowed to have a smartphone. And as much as you might think that it's crazy, I'm pretty sure that your, maybe, you know, Shir Aleph wouldn't say this, but I think as Shir Bet, you probably would agree that it makes a little bit of sense. If I were to tell you, right, when the Hartstein family often punishes their kids, so they'll punish them from electronics. So what happens right when they're punished from electronics? You start to hear the following thing. I'm bored, I'm bored, I'm bored, I'm bored, I'm bored, I'm bored, I'm bored. Right? because that's become the most amazing babysitter of Klal Yisrael, has become the internet. Okay? So a siyag l'Torah makes a lot of sense. And therefore, maybe, as I like to say, I think WhatsApp and having WhatsApp conversations with people other than your wife, unless obviously you have no choice, it's for business reasons, I think it's very highly problematic. Right? I shouldn't talk to my wife's friend on WhatsApp. I just don't think it could, you know, may lead to something not good. You think I'm crazy? Okay, that's fine. I'm not saying that's the halacha. However, establishing halachas like negiyah, which we probably spoke about a bit, casual touching in halacha, and even having a conversation about handshake in halacha, which, if you remember, maybe from last year, we learned out that there are heterim to it. It's very interesting because Rav Schechter discussed this. I was very pleasantly, not surprised, I was surprised, yeah. I was pleasantly surprised that Rav Schechter spoke out basically most of the shiur that I gave. I'm always nervous when a big gadol comes that a guy will come up to me afterwards and be like, why did Rav Schechter say the opposite of what you said in your shiur? You know, he actually quoted famously Rav Chaim Berlin. He told a little bit of a different twist off the story, which I didn't know, of course. I'm not Rav Schechter. And his godless is not only giving Torah over in such a sweet, beautiful way, but he knows the backstory, which is equally as interesting. And communism was hitting where Rav Chaim Berlin lived. And they were very, very nervous about that. And therefore what? Therefore, he told the Klal that we have to be very careful, whatever halachas we're paskening, to be very sure that we're not so machmir. Because there were a lot of people who wanted to become not Jewish anymore. And therefore, there was a challenge. And because of that challenge, he said, we shouldn't be mishugayim. Let's not accept chumras and go crazy. So what did they do? What did they establish? So he said, for example, when it came to handshake and a goyish woman, if we start to publish that it's us, sir, you can never touch a woman, he said, they're going to think we're mishugayim. So he allowed it. We gave the shita of Rabbi Moir of Aaron Soloveitchik, that it's mutter based on the idea of sota, and that he did touch her. We have a concept of the shamuat mutetes, that there are certain times we don't think about this. Certainly that's why in a doctor's office, we're not going to say, oh, but that's the gear. He can't touch his patients. They wouldn't be able to function in the world. And Rav Schechter quoted, even though Rav Moshe seems to say that it's not a good thing, Rav Moshe apparently, when you spoke to him, said that it's mutter, meaning if it's needed, a great need. We all talked about this is a great need. You shouldn't just stick your hand out and shake women's hands. Of course not. Hopefully that's obvious. I have a funny story. The first time that it was really wonderful. Unfortunately, for COVID brought a lot of bad things upon everyone. And we all have our personal, oh, this stopped and that stopped. And I'm experiencing, unfortunately, COVID now, difficulties in the job that I do because many Shabbatons are canceling. So thank God we just had last week the NCSY Yar Chakala, but the week after was supposed to be an OU big executive event. And the Jewish campus program for the OU runs, that was canceled. And the Shabbatons are being canceled. And now they're talking about Model UN being canceled. But one of the great things that the Yachad used to have was the marathon in Miami. The marathon is still taking place, but there used to be a lot of Jewish groups that would run the marathon to raise money for their organization. And we would do the catering for the Miami one. My wife happens to be a marathon runner, and therefore she was invited. I invited her to run for Yachad on the marathon. It was a cute thing. So I think twice, where my wife, we live in Israel, so it was a big deal. So she flew out to Miami and joined me for a few days of this event, and it was great. So the funny part is that many of my employees had never met my wife. And so one of my employees, who is quite frum, wanted to play a joke on my wife and me. And he says to her, he's like, wow, it's really, really great to meet you. Nice to meet you. And he stuck his hand out. And because, yeah, he thought that was funny. And I see her going, and I'm like, what the? And he's like, ah, I'm just kidding. She's kidding. Funny, huh? Like, that wasn't funny. My wife would have stuck her hand. Like, it was just being a jokester. But we know that there are heterim in that area. But the point is the point, right? If we're donness, if we discuss this lahalacha, something as casual as a handshake, so kal v'chomer benchu, you know, as I told you many times, you know, the student that called me and asked about a massage that his co-worker likes to do, obviously that sounds, he's like, I know, but I don't want to embarrass her. Like, that's sexual in nature. I received a very interesting question. I'm not a chas v'shal, I'm not a pesach. Rav Schechter is, what are you doing? Don't laugh at that. That's not so funny. I'm not a pesach. I never thought myself a pesach. But Baruch Hashem, I have some students who WhatsApp me and ask questions, and obviously the answers are obvious to me. Sometimes I say, this one's for a real rabbi. I thought this was an obvious. This is a very sad story, but I think this defines it. And again, I'm not. I said to the person, I'm not a pesach. You have to ask a qualified person because there's a psychological element here. Giving the details, his wife suffers from a psychological trauma. And there's something that triggered that trauma over Shabbos, which had her basically go up to her room and not be able to come out. And he said that he knew that the only way he can get her back to a state where she would be able to function is to give her a nice hug. Except she was a nida. So immediately I thought of the Shach. The Shach discusses about taking the pulse of or the heart rate. I'm not 100% sure which one he's talking about. I saw different firms say different things. But in both cases, they say, okay, this is a shasat chak, it's an emergency situation. You don't have no choice. You know, your wife rolls over and she says, I think I'm having a heart attack, and the husband's a doctor. He says, you know, obviously, halachically, he's not going to say, I'm sorry, you're a nida. You know, hopefully the ambulance will come in time. Take care. You know, you can't do that. So obviously, we're not talking about shasat chak. We're not talking about those type of situations. However, in this situation, I said, isn't this the ultimate definition of derech chiba? The reason why he's hugging her is that she wants to feel emotion from her husband and see there's somebody there. And so I said, listen, you have to ask psychologically if there's any shasat chakra. So I said, I tell you something, this happened on Shabbos. I said, I would be much more inclined, as Rav Asher Weiss has in many tshuvas, that we believe that psychological illness is quite similar to regular illness, and we're Mechal Shabbos. I said, I thought he was asking me, you know, she wants to listen to music, something that's going to calm her down. I would first do that rather than that. I said, well, not a place that you should ask, but I think you understand the idea, at least, not, again, Chas v'Shalom Paskening. And I think that's where this issue, and it's very interesting that after the whole dion of the Me Too movement, a conversation started in law firms and all different places about we need to protect ourselves. And there are law firms, 100%, I've seen this online, that have adopted rules and regulations that they actually call the Yichud rules. There's major firms in New York City that have what they call Yichud rules. And you have to sign on to it, that you won't be alone with a woman in a room. But basically following the laws of Yichud. So let's discuss for a moment some heterim of Yichud, because Yichud can become very cumbersome and very difficult, especially in whatever situation you might be. And it's important to know if they're heterim. First of all, there's a machlekes, and this is by no means a exhaustive shear of topic. I didn't even bring my Meir Makomos with me. But there's a machlekes whether or not the yichud is a din midaraisa. There's a few gemaras that say remezu. It's very interesting. The Rambam, if I'm not mistaken, calls him a divrei kabbalah, which we usually assume is the higher level. It's very funny. One of the guys yesterday when I did this year, he raised his hand and he's like, "Oh my God. I was always taught that the Rambam didn't believe so much in Kabbalah. I can't believe he writes Kabbalah." I'm not that kind of Kabbalah guy. Calm down. Kabbalah basically means when he writes Divrei Kabbalah is that it's a higher level of Derabbanan. I can't explain it to you, Rai. I can't. It's not a Derabbanan. It's not a Deraisa. But it's not. This is very, very interesting. Yeah, sorry.
Don't we say that David the Melech used part
of it? Correct. Very, very good. Excellent. Yes. So, that's exactly correct. David HaMelech did certain things in the Tehillas Yadayim, Yichud. Therefore, where does that put us? And that would be the Rambam's Divrei Kabbalah. Very good point. And that could be the Rambam's Divrei Kabbalah. It's important to know, because if it's Daraisa, generally are heterim, right? Once it's durabanan, the rabbis are allowed to define. The rabbis say, oh, it doesn't apply in this case, in that case, so you have to be careful. But here the rabbis do define. Most seem to assume that it's midurabanan. So there are two famous heterim, which I want to take a minute or two or 15 or 20 to discuss what those heterim are. So heter number one, just because we're in this room, so I'll use this perfect example, is called the Pesach Psuach L'Rishus HaRabim. If a person is sitting in this wonderful conference room, which would be a very typical business type of situation, so the Gemara tells us that that's not considered to be Yichud. Why? Because
people go in and out.
Right. And
you can see.
And yeah, I mean, it's quite, now, if I'm not mistaken, am I wrong? Can they see us outside?
If you go.
Right, it's mirrored. It's a cool situation because it is a mirror type of situation. So that would, as much as, let's just define the most important thing here. Two words are the most important thing that we're defining when we define Yichud. It's called fear factor. There needs to be a fear factor so that the two people that are alone reasonably feel that somebody could come in at any time. I'm sorry to tell you this, but I received the following question. My girlfriend and I don't care if anybody walks in on us. What's going to happen? I'm in college now. I'm 22 years old. What, am I getting in trouble? Right? The security guard walks in, you know, to the room, whatever, from the college that I'm in, and says, guys, you got to get out of here. He's not going to be like, okay, put your hands up. I am the Shomer Nagiya police. You're going to jail for 5 years. It doesn't exist, right? Maybe the Haredim want that in our country, but that's not, you know, that's not happening right now. That's only in TV and movies, you know?
Right.
The Shomer. Literally called the Shomer, right? And they arrest him and put him in jail for him. Yeah, what is he being accused of? Your Honor, he was meyached with an Isha. And he's like, but I thought it was Pesach Pesach L'Rishos HaRabim, right? So I agree, going back to Gedorim and Siag L'Torah, if he reasonably doesn't care, that's a problem. I was actually in a shir. It's something I can never forget in my life. Go ahead. I'll remember.
Between a gedder and a siyag.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
They both mean fetish?
I think so. Yeah. Right. Yeah. One could argue that a siyag l'toira. I mean, when we define the mission, we talk about the 30 Yamai Malachas and things that are avos and toldos. I think that's similar. A gedder maybe is a little bit. Is a gedder is higher because a gedder is actually a din midirabanan. Siyag l'toira you can define. Maybe we can define as things that we accept upon ourselves. But I don't think so, because I think the Mishnah, when defines it, talks about a siyag as a gedder, I think. So Rabbi Soloski once gave a shir, one of my wonderful rabbeim, and he gave a shir in Beis Tefillah, not so far from here. And it was a Thursday night. I remember it was very, very stark. They were learning the Maamar Koimos first, and then he gave the shir, and there were question and answers. And a guy asked the weirdest question. So let's define Pesach Pesuach, and we'll get to the guy's weird question. So Pesach Pesuach, as we have in this room, is fear factor. So even though, let's just assume for a moment that all the windows look like this, right? Which you don't know what I'm talking about unless you go outside, but they're all mirrored. So then clearly we are not in a room that is covered. Even though I can see outside, and if I started to do something, I probably for a moment would be a little nervous. Maybe the glass isn't that good. But I would think that that's not going to be good enough. So, and I'll get to that in a minute about where that revolves around in Yichud for the chuppah, after the chuppah. But one could argue, literally what I just said, Pesach Pesuach L'Rishos HaRabim is not only talking about windows, and in fact it's not, it's talking about a door. And it probably doesn't mean, according to most poskim, that the door actually has to be open, but maybe the fact that the door is always unlocked and everybody could walk into this room may actually help you. So this guy asks Rabbi Soloski, what about the following scenario that happens to me a lot? It's shocking that this person said this, but he said, I'm a lawyer, and I often have to stay late. And whenever you have to stay late, you never stay late alone. You always stay late with your assistant, right? With the what we used to call a secretary. And she's a woman, and we're alone. So he says, that's you. And he goes, whoa, wait a minute. There's a security guard whose job it is to always come on the floor every few minutes and check around and make sure everything's going on. So he says, then that's not Yichud. Because, but what if I don't care? I'm a partner in the firm. What is he going to do, tachlis, if I'm in my office and I'm fooling around with my chas v'shalom, with my secretary? He's not the Shomer Nagiya police again, right? What is he going to do? He's looking for crime. He's looking for things that are wrong. He doesn't have my wife's number. So Rabbi Soloski was shocked, and he said, "I think then you have other problems." Right? So yeah, maybe that becomes yichud. If you don't care, there's no fear factor. If you don't care. And that's why kids, if you say, well, the kids are in the house, and maybe that's not good enough because I don't have a fear factor as well. Again, that's not necessarily what the halach is. And that creates a situation. Imagine that Lev HaTor, not so far from the truth, right? Lev HaTor was going to rent itself out and become a chasen horal, right? So now they say, uh-oh, what?
What is that?
The weddings, chasenes. Chatuna, better. It becomes a wedding hall. So they have the main event is in the Beis Medrash or outside over here. And now, as you know, the Ashkenazim are very machmir to have a yichud room, right? The Sfarim don't have a yichud room. They put the talus over the head, and that's good enough for them. The yichud room is that we know that, as the Rambam tells us, as the Gemara says in Kedushin, Shtar Kesef Kedushin. You have to have all three. We're machmir. We have a ksuva, we have the ring, and we're supposed to be roi liyichud, labia. Doesn't mean that in the room they have to, which they never do, I hope, they never have marital relations, but they have to stay in the room, a room that is 100% the opposite of what we're talking about, is yichud, for the amount of time, kedei, to fry an egg, or machmir, some people are 7 minutes, 11 minutes, 14 minutes, you know. Usually the chasam kal stay there for a while, because they fasted all day, and there's food there. This is the first time that they are able to be alone together. They give each other gifts, whatever it might be. I remember, you know, I gave my wife pearls, which we can't find. We think a housekeeper took, and she gave me the tour Shulchan Aruch, very, very intimate and loving, right? Right. She, the housekeeper didn't touch those, right? And she never cleaned those either because they got plenty of dust on them. Anyway, right there. So this is a perfect example. I was only in Masada Kedushin once in my life for my cousin. And when we came to the Hilton in Staten Island, there was a conference room that looked exactly like this, except it was a semicircle of, not a circle. What's one of these called?
An oval.
An oval. Thank you. Excuse me, I'm from Israel. I not know. Oval. It was an oval, and it was all like this, all around. So when I got there, the father of the chassan, my uncle, says to me, "Daniel, I think we have a problem here." I said, "Here's the yichud room," and he shows me the yichud room. I go, "Yeah, this is not a yichud room." So he says, no, they said they're going to put drapes on it. I said, "Listen, let's be honest, they don't know what they're doing. Maybe the drapes will, you know, be an inch too, and you'll be able to see it. I don't like this, we need another room." So we were able to get another room, they weren't, but they were right. Doesn't matter, yeah, they weren't happy about it. Because we didn't rent that room, and that was where they wanted to put the food. I go, "I don't really care what you have to be an assertive Masada Kedushin." I said, "No, this is the way that has to be." So they gave them another small, it was like a small ballroom, and it was a perfect situation. It was quite closed and so on and so on. So therefore, technically, Pesach Pesach Harabim would be okay. What am I saying technically? What am I talking about? Rav Moshe Feinstein, and again, I apologize, I would love to quote you the sources, it's just from my memory. Rav Moshe discusses a very interesting question. I wonder what your thoughts are about this. And he discusses car travel. So what's how you go on a date? So normally, you know, if you're a cool guy, you know, you pick them up in your cool Tesla. I was very surprised. We had a worker in my house yesterday, and he was making comments about my electric car. And he's like, "Oh, my son," some yeshivish guy who's in, sounded like he's like in Kolo, and 23, he goes, he bought himself a Tesla for $180,000. I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, it's his toy. He likes it, so on and so forth." Yeah. Okay, Shkoy. So now you take your girlfriend out on the Tesla. So the question is, why is that not considered to be yichud? You're driving with the Tesla.
Elon Musk is always watching.
So it's actually funny you say that. My car has, which I could shut off, it's called, the company's name is AI Waze. AI stands for artificial intelligence. So it has this robot that watches you while you're driving. I'm not kidding now. It watches you while you're driving, and it says to you, if you go, like, I sometimes, it's very funny, because I could be wrong about this. I mean, I don't know anything about artificial intelligence. But if I go like this, it doesn't do anything. But when I do it for real, it says to me, "Drowsy driving is very dangerous. Please pull over now." So it's crazy. right? It tells you all the stuff. What else is, oh, if you turn your head, like a lot of times you're driving, you turn your head to talk to your wife, whatever, it says, please look ahead, right? And then my wife, for some reason, she says, sometimes she's driving, it's never happened to me yet, and she scratches like here, and it says, smoking is dangerous to your health. Please stop smoking. That's crazy. Or it tells you you're on your phone. It's very, very cool. You could shut it off if you want, but it's a pretty cool thing. I keep it on because I think it's great. What? Yeah, I happen to like it, and also I'm not going to let my kids drive yet, this car. But if I do, I think it's a great thing for the kids to have. So now, what if the Haredim installed the AOAs and it says, you are touching another woman. Please stop now. You know, right? Right? I love this. We're having a great time with this, right? So that wouldn't be good enough because I don't think that's a fear factor enough because it's a robot. But now I'm being serious now. What if we installed cameras? Right. Let's just say right now this is on, right? And we have the guys in the book that are in, and it's on, and right. And now I'm miyached. I'm with a woman, and everything's closed here. You can't see in. So is that considered to be yichud? Somebody's watching me. So the problem I have with this, and there are poskim who allow this. Certainly, when it comes to kashrus, this has become something very, very popular. I very much like kashrus, which unfortunately. My family doesn't like that I like kashrus because I have many, many problems with many different restaurants and things like that. It's not for now, but it gets me in trouble. I was very interested in one place. I like to find out because the owners are always very honest usually. And I was talking to an owner of a restaurant and I said to him, how come you have this hashgacha over this hashgacha? So usually the only reason is it's where more people will, right? You get the hashgacha because unless you're that level hashgacha. So this guy said to me, I had another hashgacha. People weren't coming in. Right, yeah, have Badas Beit Yosef, and then he moved to Rav Machlud. I said to him, "How's Rav Machlud Hashgacha?" He says, "It's horrible." I go, "Oh, he doesn't come a lot." He goes, "He hardly comes at all." I'm like, "Oh, so that's why it's horrible?" No, because look over there. He installed a camera, which I had to pay for. He said, and the camera watches me all the time. And he said, "He'll call me all the time with questions." He says, "Do me a favor, lift up those bag of pita breads." I didn't see the Hashgacha. Somebody's really watching it. What does that create for kashrus? That's exactly what you need, a fear factor. This is what I discussed. I had a meeting with the OU. Our company's under the OU. I had a meeting with the most important person there, Rabbi Elephant, who's in charge. I think he's the COO of the kashrus. And we had some complaints about our mashgiach, not important. But I said to him exactly what I just said. I said, just like the hilchos yuchos, we need to create a fear factor by hilchos kashrus. The most important thing is that this mashgiach, right, 99.9% of the products that I get in are going to be kosher, right? Once in a while, you will catch a delivery that comes. This is very common, by the way, now with COVID. So companies make mistakes, and they ship products. And we had this nebuch, a few questions of this. We got a delivery. We used to do these school boxes. And we got a delivery of, we used to get a delivery from ShopRite every week. It was awesome. Because we saved a lot of money. Then, unfortunately, ShopRite didn't want to deal with us anymore. I'm not sure why. So we got a delivery. One of the things we were getting was pasta sauce. Right, kosher ShopRite pasta sauce. The palate, you know, has the exact same whatever basil flavored pasta sauce. And then, unfortunately, when we got the delivery, when it went out, we got one call, two calls, three calls. Hi, we got the meat flavored pasta sauce. I don't think it's kosher. It's treif. In the middle of the palate, I don't think done purposely, was a few cases of the meat flavored one. Probably not done purposely, as I said. Really, really bad situation. So that's important, but to me, the most important part of Mashkiach is fear factor. He has to be walking around all the time that the people that are not Jewish know they're not turning a fire on, they're not going to, that's what I believe. And that's what I said to him. I said, if there's no fear factor here, the rabbi half the day saying Tehillim in his little office. Very, very important. So the camera could be good. The problem I have with the camera in non-kashra situation, in yichud situation, is how easy it is for me to do this. Now nobody sees me. I'm behind the screen. So that's my problem with cameras. Reasonably, this would be a perfect case of Pesach Mesurach L'Rosh HaRabim. So let's go back to the car. What do you think about the car situation? Would that be yichud? You're going with your girlfriend? What do you think? It's very interesting. That's exactly very, wow. You guys are this COVID is really doing well for you. So Rav Moshe actually writes that. Rav Moshe seemingly was against this. Now, why would I say, well, let's stop for a second. Why would it be mutter? Why would car travel be mutter? Obviously.
Because you're driving.
Right, because you're driving on a road and people are passing all the time. Now, I purposely use the example of a Tesla, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't Tesla, does it have tinted windows? So that's going to be more of a question. My uncle.
Self-driving.
Right. We're going to get to self-driving in a question. Very, very good. Excellent. So.
It's close to the road. How much can you get done when you're driving?
You mean, Osterwise? So Ramosha's concern is exactly what you're saying, and that is driving off the road. Because any highway that you're driving on, you know, always has a lookout point. Especially sometimes literally driving on the road and it says, great lookout point, next exit. And like, oh yeah, lover's lane, let's go there. And he was very concerned with that, which I think is a very interesting concern. Most people are makil and say you can drive your girlfriend. The only time we say that that's usur, right, is when the heter of Pesach Besur Chlerushas Arabim doesn't work because, right, there's not any people on the road. I'm driving my girlfriend up to camp, right? And she's driving up to camp and it's camp. Those camp roads nobody ever travels on. That's a serious problem, lahalacha. I don't think a person could do that. I don't think reasonably people are passing so quickly. Certainly if it's 2-3 o'clock in the morning. I don't think we're machmir like Rav Moshe. If I'm not mistaken, the Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva, I think Rav Shlomo Zalman as well, about, you know, it sounds strange, an ambulance driver. I guess there was a time in history where there was only one person driving in the ambulance. I'm not sure. The Gemara says that what is considered to be yichud. The Gemara says that one woman and two men are not considered to be yichud, whereas two women and one man is considered to be yichud. Anybody know why that would be? Again?
One man can overpower the other man, like if something happened.
True. I'm looking for something a little bit different than that.
Going back around each other.
Oh, excellent. So, interestingly enough, yes and no, what you're saying. The assumption is that women are embarrassed of what the other person is doing. And therefore, they're not telling anybody about it. It's embarrassing. A man who is being miyached with another woman, and there's another guy there, this guy's putting it all over social media. Dog, man, awesome what you did. And he's like, that's not my wife. He's like, oh, sorry, man. I can't take it off now. You know, it's on Instagram. It's on Twitter. It's on it. So that's the assumption. So going back to our situation, when we talk about a car, so if it's two men, so we just said it's not yichud. So apparently there was ambulance drivers where the woman's having a baby and he's driving. Now it's total yichud. Why? They're in the Arab communities. You can't see in the ambulance. I don't really understand this so well because one could argue that what's going to happen, she's about to have a baby. Like, it doesn't make so much sense. But there are poskim who had a problem with it, saying, again, he could pull over at any time and then it'll be an issue. What if she just broke her hand? I don't think this is the way that it is anymore. I think ambulances have more people in it. So the car situation, seemingly there could be a heter for. Obviously, if it's tinted windows, you would have a problem. But then you just reminded me of an interesting question. You talk about the new self-driving cars. So Rav Usher Weiss has a very strange, apparently real question that happened. The question is like this. A woman, Nebuch, her father dies in Eretz Yisrael, and she's trying to make the Levaya. She happens to be in Brazil. So the only way that she's able to get a flight to New York and then to Israel is she needs to fly from Rio de Janeiro, to New York. However, she's in São Paulo now. So she has no choice. She hires a charter flight, that's going to take her to Rio so she can make this flight. She gets to the airport, and she gets on the plane, and the captain introduces himself, and she realizes it's just the captain and her. One guy's flying a plane. It's a little 45-minute ride. So she thinks it's Yichud. What do you guys think?
They're in separate rooms.
Isn't the pilot fly the plane?
Depends on
the
possibility
of
putting
it on autopilot.
Yeah. Right, so autopilot. So let's discuss autopilot for a second. So I once gave the shiur many years ago in a Pesach program. And I like to insult people. I'm an insult comic. I'm like Don Rickles. And you don't know what I'm talking about. My wife says I like to make jokes that I laugh at. And everybody's like, what are you talking about? If the guy is flying the plane and he tries something with this girl, he's going to die. The plane is going to go down. So this older man raises his hand. He goes, "What about oil autopilot?" I'm like, "You dog, man, what the?" And everybody's like laughing. He didn't think it was funny. But here's what I understood about autopilot. First of all, smaller planes do not have autopilot function. As you said, on shorter flights, there's no such thing as autopilot. Number two, autopilot is always manned by another person. So sometimes if you're scared and you see the captain come out of the plane, and you're like, oh, always the co-pilot is there, right?
Even charter planes usually have co-pilots.
Right. So this, for whatever reason, didn't have. So it wouldn't be yichud because nothing's going to happen. Nothing can happen. So one could argue, because he's always flying the plane. Now one could argue, now with the new self-driving cars, but in Israel, my car is a self-driving car. But in Israel, they have weird rules. I forgot the rule. I forgot the amount of seconds. You only can have auto drive on for like something weird, 90 seconds or something. So it's really not, there's no point of it. So I've tried it and it's cool. You know, the car takes over. Basically what it does is it reads the lines in the road.
You have a Tesla?
No. I have this AOAs I was talking about. So it reads the thing. It's a very cool thing. It also self-parks, which is ridiculous because if you need to self-park your car, that means you don't know how to drive. Like, and it takes so long. Please put the car into neutral. We did it like once with my kids just to show them how cool it is. It's really cool when it takes over. Please put the car in neutral. Please now find it. Okay. I am now going to self-park, you know, and it left for like 20 minutes. You're like, okay, great. Wow, this is amazing. Wow. I can't believe it did this. Okay, bye, turn. So I wonder in the self-driving cars, Mamish, if you're really, really driving it, so are you're arguing and it never has to be manned? Is that true? I don't know. I don't know.
I haven't seen that technology.
So I think it's always manned. You always have to stay with the car. We're not there yet. When we come to a point where, yeah, so self-driving car is going to be similar to you sitting in an Uber. So if it happened to be it was an Uber and there was a woman driver and you have your girlfriend in there, you know, that's, I mean, maybe then you have a youth. I don't know.
Not to the point of like making like turns and stuff, but like as far as like highway driving, like Teslas can take over for like an hour.
Right, correct. The question is, do you have to stay in the seat? And I think, if I'm not mistaken, at least the videos I saw, they're like, there's a feature where it says, you know, are you still there? Yeah. Like you have to put, every so often you have to put your hands on the wheel. Mm-hmm. So therefore that wouldn't be, I don't think that would be the question of yichud. I get Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying about the driving off type of situation. And he's concerned about that because you are alone. Again, it's so amazing to me because Rav Moshe wrote this obviously, you know, tons of years ago, right? At least 50 years ago probably. And it's so relevant today because we understand, you know. So again, a person's not going to fall into that type of situation should he follow the laws of Yichud, right? Again, that's setting up a Geder Siyag where he says to himself, I need to follow these rules, right? Why did David HaMelech invent it, right? One could argue maybe it had something to do with his incident with Bathsheba, but certainly recognizing that as the world gets, you know, he was generations after the Torah was given, and said, this is becoming a problem, sexuality. We don't have, you know, the Avodah Zarah, as we know the Gemara tells us, the Avodah Zarah for Avodah Zarah, our Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah is non-existent, Baruch Hashem, right? Nobody's going down the street and seeing a Buddha and be like, oh, I need to bow down to this right now, right? And most people, by the way, don't have Yetziraras for, you know, food, I don't know.
Right?
What?
Maryland, they have the turtle.
The turtle. And people.
People.
So, right. So that's true. But I don't think it's the same, the same situation. But you're correct. There are some people, you know, who says, oh God, I'm sorry. I got to be German today. I got to have ice cream now. You know, it's only 3 hours. I'm like, okay. Most people don't have, but our Yetzihara, the biggest Yetzihara, and that's why we're talking about this during Shovim, a time that we are supposed to get, you know, it's hard to experience, you know, to say, I was listening to the shiur of Rav Bitterman from this week. Those that know me know I love Rav Bitterman. So he gives a shiur on Sunday night. I find it fascinating, by the way, because many Sunday nights, I actually try to tune into the shiur live. It's on Kol Lashon. Starts at 10:40 on Sunday night. and it lasts for over 2.5 hours. I just don't, how do people, right? So of course he never comes at 10:40. It's like 11 o'clock or sometimes I catch the first few minutes of it. But it's amazing. It goes until, I think he gives it, I think, right outside of Ramat Gan. Because my nephew said he's gone before. It's remarkable. So Rav Biderman was so excited. He says, Shabbos Shira, this is it. He's so excited. Shabbos Shira, Shabbos Shira. Who do you care, Shabbos Shira? You're supposed to be the parsha is supposed to speak to us. It's supposed to be a happy time, Shabbos Shira. Tu B'Shvat is coming, right? What does it affect me, Tu B'Shvat? There's a Hitzchatshus. So the parsha is supposed to speak to us. So Shovim is supposed to be that time where I say, wait a minute. We also need to get out of our personal gullus, right? Each of us have our own gullus. Each of us have something that's holding us back from serving Hashem the way that we should, right? Usually, people use the word laziness. I actually don't think that's the word. I think it's just, I don't know. I think there are people that are lazy. That's true. But I think our avodas Hashem, a guy that doesn't go to minyan, is not because he's lazy. It's because it doesn't mean much to him, right? Because he's not, that same guy is not showing up to work late every single day and be like, sorry, I'm just lazy. Why does he show up to work exactly on time, even if work tells him he has to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning? Because he cares about it. So it's a different thing. But many of our goluses is the Yetzirah of our generation, is sexuality. So how do I protect myself to that? And I think this is the answer. I think this is the answer. I think that that's so obvious, but it has to be something that's important. I'll just end with, or at least I'll end this, what I maybe will put online, is after I gave the shiur on a Pesach program where I was a scholar, one of the scholar in residence, so a guy came up to me. This is remarkable with this statement, but I want to tell it to you because it's so interesting. And, you know, a lot of people come up and question afterwards, you know, and they say, you know, it's so funny, or that the guy that I made fun of that said, what about autopilot? He came up to me to scream at me and saying, that wasn't nice that you picked me out of the crowd. Okay. And then this person comes up to me and says, Rabbi, do you really teach this to your students that are going to college next year? I'm like, yeah. So he says, why would you teach them something that they're never going to keep? Right? Doesn't the halacha say that you're not allowed to teach someone a halacha that they're never going to follow? Right? There's a halacha, which is fascinating in the Shulchan Aruch, that says if the rabbi finds out in a big community that the Eruv is down, last night there was a tornado, God forbid, there was a hurricane, there was a whatever, windstorm, and he's walking to shul and he himself sees the string is down, shockingly, he does not have to report it to the shul. What do you mean? They're not allowed to carry. Well, what's exactly going to happen right now of all the babies that are in shul with strollers? So if he makes the announcement, some religious people will be like, okay, we have no choice. We'll stay in the shul. We have no food. We have no nothing. We have no choice. Most people will not. I may be mistaken. I don't think I'm mistaken about this, but I remember once when the Eruv was down in Woodmere, which hardly ever went down, there were people going around and telling the people that knew what could take the information. I think it was a snowstorm or something. And I think I remember telling my father, don't carry anything. There's no Eruv. But normally we don't do that. We don't reveal the halacha. So this guy says to me, what are you telling them about Yichud? They're never going to follow Yichud. And I was shocked by that. I said, you're totally wrong, sir. I respectfully disagree. I think I have a hashba on the guys. And I think they're going to take this seriously. He really thought that there was antiquated halacha called Yichud. Nobody follows Yichud. Who cares about Yichud? The resurgence of Yichud is unbelievable. Now the Goyim are following it. Now you know people are like, wow, this halacha actually makes sense. This protects us against this. I would argue, just based on the statement that you started with, I would argue that most people, let's take Jewish people, because I know them well. My mother's Jewish. So I think that most people would not, my father's also Jewish. I would argue that most good Jewish people have no intention when they get married to have an affair. Right? The guy doesn't get married and say, oh, God. Same flavor every day of my life? Wow, I don't know if I can do that. These people are excited and amazing. How did they fall into this situation? And many, I'm sure, when they speak to their psychologists or rabbis and say, I don't know how I got to this point. I know of one such case where somebody confided in someone that told me and said, the guy said, and the guy said, It was a Nebuchadnezzar situation with business trips, and it was terrible. Every business trip, he would call an escort. Not even the same woman. And he said, I don't know how I fell into this situation. Mamish, an addiction. Like you know, if I said to you, oh, Nebuch, you know, so-and-so is going for, right? Addictions nowadays are sometimes they're handled appropriately, but a lot of times people don't, if I said, oh, so-and-so is in the hospital because of Nebuch, you know, he has kidney failure. You'd be like, oh my God, what's his name? I've the Dom for. If I says to you, so-and-so is in the hospital because he has drug abuse. Oh, you know, like, it's an illness. So this is an addiction as well. So most people don't want to fall into that situation. And therefore what? Therefore, I this is the gedder. This is what we say. You don't want to fall in that situation? I know it sounds crazy. Don't be alone with a woman. What? Come on. I don't know. It can't be. Chazal and their infinite wisdom really understood what the generation was. That's what I think. It's very important to keep bringing up the topic, to review the topic every show of them, I think. It's a very, very important topic.